Hi, guys.
Hi. Sorry, we're prepping.
We are getting ready to bring you the murder. Oh, she does, poor she baby.
Yeah.
That makes
oh,
even
snap.
That makes
where
it
did
even
it go?
Sad.
I know. Sorry, I just made it small.
He's a trash panda.
Big facts. Well, hi everybody, I'm Sarah.
Hi, I'm Alicia.
And this is
Sinister States. And we're winding down, guys.
We are. This is the second to last episode that we're going to record today.
We've been here since about 9 o'clock this morning.
Like 9:30, but yeah.
Yeah, 9:30-ish.
And it's 6:43. Yeah, it's almost 6:45. So we should get done before 8.
Dun dun dun.
We will. Because we're in New Hampshire this time.
New Hampshire.
And mine is short. Which is a change from last week, because last week we chatted everyone's ears off.
Right.
And I'm surprised we didn't get laryngitis.
They're ready to put a sock in our mouths.
Seriously. But not in, like, the murderous way. Just in the STFU way.
Yeah.
But yeah, welcome everybody. So we're in New Hampshire.
Boom, boom, boom.
I feel like people...
This was Sarah's pick. So let me tell you real quick how this happened.
Okay.
This was your pick. Texas was my pick, so I did that. That was my fault. Because we had a tie.
Yeah.
Remember, it was New Hampshire...
Texas
and Rhode Island.
Yeah.
It was Rhode Island, I think, was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, we have a three-way tie. I was like, we don't have enough time to have another vote. So you pick one, I'll pick one. She was like, well, you pick one. I'm like, Texas. She's like, New Hampshire. So this time when we go to vote, you're only going to vote on three.
Yes.
But anyways, so this is Sarah's pick.
This is my pick. Well, you picked the big state. I picked the little state.
Yeah, you picked the wee state.
I feel like people know that we record multiple episodes in a single day because we slowly have nothing left to talk about in the beginning because we've chatted all day.
Yeah.
So we tend to jump right in. So I'm going to jump right in with our missing persons.
Here we go.
And this one ties into my case, just FYI. Did you pick this on purpose?
No. I had this picked before you ever picked that.
Okay. So just an FYI, this poor little girl does play a part in my case that I'm covering. So on paper, her name is Jane Doe 2000. She was found on May 9th, 2000 in Allenstown, New Hampshire. She's estimated to be between 2 to 4 years old. The unidentified child was found on May 9th, 2000 on private property next to Bear Brook State Park in Allenstown, New Hampshire. She was 2 to 4 years old at the time of her death, placing her birthday between 1975 to 1977. She had slightly wavy brown hair. DNA testing was revealed she is primarily Caucasian with a small amount of Asian, Black, and American Indian ancestry. The child had a slight overbite that may have been noticeable. An analysis of her bones suggested that she may have had anemia in life, but this cannot be confirmed. The investigation has revealed that she is not from New Hampshire, but most likely from Texas, Arizona, California, or Oregon. DNA testing has confirmed her biological father is Terry Rasmussen, who also went by many aliases, including Bob Evans. He is the primary suspect in her death, but has since died. Her mother has not been identified or located, and is feared to have been another victim. The images displayed are a facial reconstruction created by the National Commission... No, the National... What is it?
Probably National Center for Missing...
Center. I was like, commission? I was like, that's not the word. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, forensic artist, and depicts what she may have looked like in life. So, Jane Doe 2000. And as you heard, this will take us right into my case, which
was not intentional, by the way.
No.
Definitely was not intentional.
I chose this, and Alicia chose that, and we chose separately. So, my New Hampshire case is the Bear Brook Murders. So, on November 10th, 1985, a hunter found a metal 55-gallon drum near the site of a burned-down store at Bear Brook State Park in Allenstown, New Hampshire. Inside were the bodies of an adult female and a young girl wrapped in plastic. Autopsies determined both had died of blunt force trauma. The two were buried in an Allenstown cemetery with a tombstone that read, "Here lies the mortal remains known only to God of a woman aged 23 to 33 and a girl child aged 8 to 10. Their slain bodies were found on November 10th, 1985 in Bear Brook State Park. May their souls find peace in God's loving care."
Oh, that's pitiful.
Yep. On May 9th, 2000, the remains of two young girls were found near the first discovery site. These bodies were also in a metal 55-gallon drum, and police believe that all four murders occurred at roughly the same time, despite investigators inexplicably missing the second drum in 1985. So they didn't find the second drum for 15 years.
When did they find it?
2000, May 9th of 2000. They found the first one November
So this
10th.
is her. I bet she's one of them.
Yeah.
'Cause that's May 9th. That's what it says. Oh, man.
So they found the first drum November 10th of 1985, and they didn't find the second one until May 9th of 2000. According to investigators, the reason that it took so long for the second drum to be recovered is that it was located outside the proximity of the initial crime scene. The cause of death for these children was also blunt force trauma. The adult, later identified as Honeychurch, was determined to be Caucasian with possible Native American ancestry. Her age at the time of death was estimated to be 23 to 33. She had curly or wavy brown hair and was between 5 foot 2 inches and 5 foot 7 inches in height. Her teeth showed significant dental work, including multiple fillings and three extractions. The three girls were thought to also have some Native American heritage. They had light or European American complexions. The girl found with the adult female, so this is the one from 1985, because in 1985 they found an adult and an 8 to 10 year old girl. The girl found with the adult female, later identified as Vaughn, was between 5 and 11 years old. She had symptoms of pneumonia, a crooked front tooth, and diastema, which is a space between her top teeth, two earrings in each ear, and was between 4 foot 3 inches and 4 foot 6 inches tall. Her hair was wavy and light brown, and she had no dental fillings. The middle child, currently unidentified, also had a gap in her front teeth and died at an age between 2 and 4. She had brown hair and was about 3 foot 8 inches tall. She had an overbite, which was probably noticeable. I love how it's like the same wording from your missing and exploited children. She also may have suffered from anemia. DNA proved this child was fathered by Terry Peter Rasmussen. In February 2020, it was announced that DNA analysis suggested the child was primarily Caucasian with slight Asian, African, and Native American heritage. The organization later released an updated version of the child's facial reconstruction. The youngest girl, identified as Mick Waters, was estimated to be 1 to 3 years old, had long blonde or light brown hair, was between 2 foot 1 inches and 2 foot 6 inches tall, and also had a gap between her front teeth. In the early days of the investigation, authorities publicized the case in the United States and some parts of Canada. At least 10 possible identities were ruled out. Despite hundreds of leads, the bodies were not identified. In June 2013, new versions of the victims' facial reconstructions were created by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. These versions incorporated their dental information, showing how their teeth could have affected the appearance on their faces. The reconstructions were created in black and white as their skin tones and eye colors could not be determined. In November of 2015, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children released a third set of reconstructions of the four victims at a news conference at the New Hampshire State Attorney General's office. In 2014, police announced that DNA profiling had revealed through mtDNA that the woman and oldest and youngest girls were maternally related. So that kind of rules out, like, kind of, that that was her mother that she like died with. Not to say that her mother may not be a victim, but she wasn't found in this. This means that the woman could have been the girl's mother, aunt, or older sister. In 2015, the woman was identified as the mother of those two girls, so the oldest one and the youngest one, but not the one that has been identified as Terry Rasmussen's daughter. Other forensic information showed that the women and children lived together in the northeastern United States between 2 weeks and 3 months before their deaths. Investigators have concluded the woman and two of the children lived in the area where their bodies were found. Advanced forensic testing showed the 2 to 4 year old girl.
What is going on? Just gonna shoot more fireworks. Yeah, hang on.
Okay, my bad. Okay, so.
We have a little background noise. Somebody's shooting off fireworks, so bear with us.
Sorry. Okay, so back to what I was talking about. So, other forensic information show that the woman and children lived together in the northeastern United States between 2 weeks and 3 months before their deaths. Investigators have concluded the woman and two of the children lived in the area where their bodies were found. Advanced forensic testing showed the 2 to 4-year-old girl, since identified as Rasmussen's daughter, probably spent most of her childhood in either the upper northeast or upper midwest, perhaps in Wisconsin. In 2019, however, it is stated that the non-related child most likely originated from Arizona, Texas, California, or Oregon, although additional locations cannot be excluded. So, moving into a little bit of a later development. In January 2017, it was announced that the disappearance of Denise Bowden, a woman from New Hampshire who had been missing since 1981, was connected to the Bear Brook murders. Bowden disappeared from Manchester, New Hampshire, along with her young daughter and then boyfriend Robert Bob Evans. Evans later abandoned a young girl named Lisa at a campground, and she was found to not be his daughter. Bowden was not reported missing until 2016, when her daughter resurfaced alive and well in California after there was more publicity about the murders and Bowden's disappearance. The daughter, who found her biological family and relation to Bowden with the help of genetic genealogist Barbara Ray Venter, is keeping her name private. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children subsequently announced that an unidentified man known by the alias Robert Evans was found through DNA to be the father of the middle child, who was not related to the other three victims. Authorities believe that Evans was the killer of the 4 Bear Brook victims, but did not elaborate. Authorities said in January 2017 that the Bear Brook adult victim was not Bowden. They also said that Robert Evans was a pseudonym, that the man's legal identity was unknown. Evans died in prison in December of 2010. He had been convicted and sentenced as Evans for the 2002 murder and dismemberment of his wife at the time, Yoo Soon Jun, a chemist in California. In June 2017, police released a video of a police interview of Evans in hopes of finding his true identity. 2 months later, Robert Evans was confirmed as Terry Peter Rasmussen through Y-DNA testing from a DNA sample contributed by one of his sons from what is believed to be his first marriage. Born in 1943, Terry Rasmussen was a native of Denver, Colorado. He married in 1968, had 4 children between 1969 and 1972, and lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and Redwood, California. His wife left him between 1973 and 1974, and his family last saw him around Christmas of 1974. One of his sons from this marriage provided the DNA sample that confirmed Rasmussen as Evans in June 2017. The senior Rasmussen, known as the Chameleon Killer, is believed to have used at least 5 different aliases in a decades-long run of crimes across the country, including at least 5 homicides and likely more. On June 6, 2019, New Hampshire investigators held a press conference regarding the case and revealed the identities of 3 of the victims. Marlise Elizabeth Honeychurch, who was born in 1954, was the mother of Marie Elizabeth Vaughn, born in 1971, and Sarah Lynn McWaters, born in 1977. So that's the mother, the older girl, and the youngest girl. All of whom went missing from La Puente, California, around Thanksgiving 1978, while she was dating Rasmussen. Honeychurch had an argument with her mother and left the residence, never contacting her relatives again. Honeychurch may have adopted the alias name Elizabeth Evans to use in legal documents during May 1980. It is believed that all 4 victims were murdered before 1981, as Rasmussen was known to have left New Hampshire after this time. Sarah's younger half-brother, who had never met her, created a post in 1999 on the Ancestry.com website in efforts to locate her. She was born in Hawaiian Gardens, California, when her father was in the Marines. Similar posts also aided in the identifications of the victims. Marlise had previously married Marie's father in June 1971 and divorced by 1974. She married Sarah's father in September 1974, and the two were separated by the time she was known to be dating Rasmussen. The children both went through periods where they were in custody of their fathers, but Marlise would later regain guardianship. By October 1978, Sarah's father was seeing another woman, and Sarah was presumably in the care of her mother. Honeychurch and Vaughn's funeral was held in November 2019 in Allenstown, during which they were given a new headstone bearing their names. In attendance were members of Honeychurch's family and Rasmussen's daughter from his first marriage. Sarah was laid to rest in Connecticut, closer to her father's family. The fourth victim's identity is not yet known, but investigators stated that through advanced DNA testing, they could confirm the child was Rasmussen's. They have so far been unable to identify who the mother of the child is and whether or not she may still be alive. In February of 2020, a new rendering of the fourth victim was released by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and New Hampshire State Police. In 2021, investigators revealed that the middle child's mother had relatives in Pearl River County, Mississippi. The following year, they determined that she was most likely a descendant of Thomas Deadhorse Mitchell, a man who was born in 1836 and would be the fifth and sixth great-grandfather of the child. Rasmussen's daughter, Andrea Steers, has said that she believes she met Jane Doe when she was very young and that she was cute. She also believes that Jane Doe was half Asian and that the only reason Rasmussen did not kill her, aka her, his actual daughter that's talking, was because she looked like him and that Jane Doe did not look like him. Yeah. And that's all that we know about the Bear Brook murder. So three of the four victims have been identified, but the one that is Terry Rasmussen's daughter, we still don't know exactly who she is or who her mother is.
That's so sad.
Yeah. That's what, this one was short. That's what I said. But that's the Bear Brook murders. There's also, the heck is it? There's a public radio. So in 2018, New Hampshire Public Radio covered the Bear Brook murders, as well as other posthumous findings on Rasmussen on the first season of the true crime podcast, Bear Brook. So there is a podcast that covers this entire thing, but there isn't really much to cover anymore because we've identified three of the four victims. The individual that we think killed them died in 2010.
I just wonder how many more victims, though, there are out there that belong to him.
Yeah, considering these are just four that were in New Hampshire and then he left and he was alive until 2010.
Well, I mean, it sounds like he was, kind of reminds me of that, the movie with Shia LaBeouf, remember, where he had like the stepdad, like his mom was dating or married that man, you know, and he had killed other women previously, you know, they just kind of bounce around, or the stepfather, something like that. It was a movie I saw forever ago, but that basically was kind of based on that, like, he had a new identity and he would go date this woman and blah, 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 blah. And then when he got ready to kill her or whatever, he would go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what it reminds me of. Like,
yeah.
Because the way he changed his name and different things.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, the chameleon killer is who Terry Rasmussen, that's one of his aliases, pseudonyms.
But yeah, this loser.
This one's really short.
It was really short. We're giving you guys a break.
Yeah. I mean, after like an hour and 20 minutes of talking last week, it was time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we're just, it's kind of towards the end of the day for us. And I think that's part of it too. Like, we get to the point where it's a lot to take in one day. You think we're sitting here and this is what we've done, three Patreon episodes. And then we have eight regular episodes that we record. So 8, 9, 10, 11 cases. So this is the 10th case we've recorded today.
Mm-hmm.
With one more to go.
So thank you guys for listening. I don't even care that this is under 20 minutes.
No.
Y'all can get a break.
Yeah, and come back Thursday and I will have a case for you.
In New Hampshire.
In New Hampshire. And don't forget, we have Patreon. We have
Facebook, Instagram,
TikTok, the Tiki Tech. Our Patreon, we have a few cool
series
going on there. We have cults, we have medical monsters, killer kids for one more episode.
And then Sinister Guess Where.
I don't think we're ever going to give those up. They're fun.
They're fun. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. That's all we got. Thank you guys so much. It's short, but
if you've ever met a murderer, write us. Let us know. Yeah. SinisterStatesPodcast@gmail.com. We really want to do like a listener's tales, stories, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to do that. I
hope you too.
Well, but we need some tales. We already have one. We have the one.
We have a ghost one.
We have a spooky one
that we can still put in the trenches. I think I can make it through one spooky episode.
So,
but yeah.
We would like to hear some of your stories, because I know some of you have met murderers.
Yeah.
I heard that one lady on this one, like, listener stories episode, she had sold duct tape, and she was like a cashier, and this guy come in by the shovel and duct tape and all this other things, and then she saw him like 2 weeks later on the news, arrested for killing somebody. So even
There you
if it's
go.
something like that, like, we want to hear about it. Let
Yeah,
me
for
hear all
sure.
your crap.
Yeah, but thank you guys so much for listening.
All right.
And any parting words?
Lock your doors and don't play with Ouija boards. And
As
don't open random barrels in the woods.
That's fair. And as always, there's probably something sinister right in your own backyard.
Bum, ba, da, bum.